Wonderful Lord. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, O Lord, for all that which you are, Father, in Christ Jesus, O Lord, and who have granted us, O Lord, to sit in heavenly places with you and to feel your love, your agape, your virtue, and to all understand all that which you are, Father, as a Father to each and every one of us as your child. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we could be here today. Gather around thy word and to understand and learn a little bit of what you want us to know from this life. Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us this privilege. And as we come before you right now, Lord, break down the bread of life. Open our mind, Father, and our hearts to thy word now. Touch the lip that speaks and the ear that hears, Father. They may all be in the heart and the rejoicing of the Holy Spirit in us. I commit this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When I go to the book of Philippians, we are going to do with our series. Last week, we actually finished off with just the verse 6, but let us just read the whole chapter beginning from verse 1 again. Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We finish it last week until here. But let me just again pick up the word that is in verse 2. A word that we normally hear or read or we pray and use it often, the word grace. If I ask you, what is the word grace to you? So grace be unto you. What do you understand from the word grace? Generally, of course, more than many people will say, oh, grace means unmerited favor. Something that you don't deserve, God give it to you. And I think that is about the only definition most people know. But that is not what the Bible here means. Grace has a lot of meaning. And that's why when I was talking one time with a believer here who was pastoring his church, you know, when I was sharing with him about Noah, that Noah was a PRC, and but you know what, he was disbelieving it. You know, he believed that Noah was not a PRC. I said, why do you believe in that? He said, but again, because the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, to him, when I said that Noah was a PRC, that means if he is pure, there's no grace given. Because he was not pure, therefore grace is given. And he says, sinner, grace will be given to sinner. So grace is not given to Christian. Is that so? So when we talk about grace, in what way is grace? What is the meaning of the word grace? Grace has many meanings. Grace is something from God that is given to you to help you. You are a sinner. God wants to help you, to give you life, to make you understand. Alright? So grace is given to you that you know the gospel, know the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is grace. It's a help from God. So basically the word grace means help in many forms. Help to get your salvation, to make you understand about salvation. Help when you're in time of need. When you need healing, that's grace to you, right? For you get healing. Do you understand? But it's nothing when you want healing. And it doesn't mean, oh God, I want healing. That, because, okay, I give you grace. So no, I don't want grace because I already am a Christian. Is that what you say to him? No. You see, that's why I said a lot of people do not understand the word grace, and many of them You know, they just take what they understand and say, well, you know, Noah is, it's not a pure seed. That's why he needs grace. So pure seed don't need grace. So we are pure seed in Christ anyway, so we don't need grace. But here Paul said, grace be unto you. Grace in what way? Many ways. Grace in time of need. You call upon me, I will answer. Right? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you will find. So grace has that meaning, a very broad meaning, where God comes to help you, comes to give you something. Something that you don't ask and yet He still will give you. And yet something that you ask and He was also want to help you, give it to you. Or when you are in time of need, you're crying out, He's there to help you. So this is one thing that we must understand, alright? So, Hosea, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, in this, you know, the revelation of Paul about the Godhead, this verse here will make you understand. There is God the Father and there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brother, can you believe in two gods? No, I don't believe in two gods. I believe that there is one God. Is known as God the Father, my Father. And there is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and Jesus Christ called God his Father. And people who are out there who do not, who are still going to argue, Jehovah is only one God, Jesus Christ is his own Father. Like, okay, can you be your own Father? How stupid can that be? But people just do not want to really humble themselves and look at it, the scripture, they think they know what they do not know and make a mess. Not only for themselves, but for others whom they are teaching. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's important to know what Paul is saying. And like I said, you know, last week or so, and you know, sometime back, that there are people who don't believe that Jesus Christ is our brother. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is our brother. The Bible clearly said that he is our brother. The firstborn among many brethren. And even in our place, he was not ashamed to call us brethren. Come on! I'm afraid that, you know, I want to believe, as I said this many times, when I look into this whole world of religion and we are Christian people, I want every Christian, really Christian, to make the rapture. You know what I'm saying? Whether you be a Baptist, a Methodist, whatever, if you are a Christian, I want you to make the rapture. Because many other believe they will make the rapture. But I was sharing with the brother, how do we know how the rapture is going to take place? If you want to believe what Hal Lindsey said in his, or wrote in his book, or the movie that they make of Hal Lindsey's book, Left Behind. Have you seen Left Behind? Oh, on the internet? Left Behind. They show a church like this. The pastor is preaching. The congregation is there. Then suddenly there was a loud clap of thunder, boom, flash, and then poof. Next thing it shows, many of the congregation disappear. And those who are looking around, they saw people disappear already. They start crying. You know, they're left behind. So is this what's going to happen? Walking down the road, you disappear. Walking, you're sitting in the bus, you just disappear. In the plane, in the train. And that's what people believe in. And that's how many times we talk, people, you know, Christianity, that's what it is. People were taught a lot of tradition. So much so, a lot of people do not want to believe. Because they say, oh, your Bible is just one of those religious books. How do you know that's true? How do you know that you're going to heaven? Let me ask you this question. If you had a conversation with a sinner and you're trying to witness to him about Jesus Christ, I don't believe. You know? And he asks you the question, you believe in Jesus Christ, you say you're going to help him. How do you know you're going to help him? How do you know? How are you going to say? Let me ask you this question. What is your response? Be. How do you know you're going? How do you know you're going to help? My simple answer to them is this: I know, because my Bible said so, because my Lord said so. He may say any other thing. Oh, so you just believe the book? So you just believe the man? I said yes. He's a man to you, but he is a savior to me. Simple as that. So he can go around making fun, saying it doesn't matter. The Bible says we will be foolish when we will make a fool for Christ's sake. Is that all right? Are we afraid of testifying, be a witness of the gospel? Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. You deny me before men, I will deny you before God. Either Christ is real or he is not. If he's not real, then we are men most miserable. Then we are all foolish people here today, sitting around learning the Bible, learning about him. Think about it. I believe. You know why I believe that he is real? Because that is the only religion in the world where a leader, a founder, the founder of Christianity is Paul. But in every religion, the founder of the faith, the only one that the tomb is empty is the one that Jesus was buried in. And there are witnesses to testify to it. Oh, you believe these witnesses who wrote the Bible? I said, yes, sir. Huh? Then why are you so foolish enough to believe what all your doctor said to you, what the scientist said to you about this, right? How is it that you believe them? They have more theories than the Bible. They said the world came about by the Big Bang, came from some, what do you call that, Brother Andrew Peary mentioned it, the one source, the one beginning of things, the particle, a name that he gave, I can't remember now, you know. And that's why those who are Christian scientists will tell them, that's why, you don't believe in God, but that one thing that you say, study it out, is the very essence of life that started it. Huh? Where did the Bang Bang Theory or Big Bang Theory come from? It's just a theory. Yeah, it's a theory. But how does it happen? Who started it? I am! Because he is! You look at a plant growing up, a sapling growing up, and really look at that, so that's life. How did that happen? Look at all the creation in the world. If there is no creator, this thing won't work. How is it that you have a heart? How is it that you have a stomach? How is it that you have all this intricate design to function as it's supposed to function? To give you air, to give you the oxygen, to give you the food to take the nutrients, right? Huh? Food goes in, waste matter comes out. You breathe the oxygen, you breathe the air, common dioxide is excreted, and all the others too. And your cells multiply and grow, and so on. And think about it. If there is no creator design it, we won't be here today. Right, let's go on then. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in my prayer of mine for you, always making requests with joy, as I said last week. Paul was saying, when he prayed for them with joy, remembering each and every one of them because how they impacted his life. Now, every one of us here today, look around you. You know, so you look around you, every different one of you. Your life, you know, has an impact on me. Right? Every one of us impact one another, you know. Edify one another, have something. And one of the person who really impacted my life, really edified me a lot, is the Brother Rowley. In all that which he went through, that he's going through, you know, it really blessed me a lot. you see. And the joy of a brother or a sister, sometimes it's so catchy. Especially when Sister Gratty, you know. When she was here, even sometimes, you know, she just so jovial. You know what I mean? It's so catchy, make it. So it's good when you walk around, put on a smile. Don't put on a frown. A smile. Because there's impact. There's a drop hole. I pray for you with joy, remembering you. Why? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident that this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is confident. Not the kind of confident that he was when he was Saul. You know when he was Saul? Before he was Paul? He was so confident because, you know, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know. I know what I believe. Jesus is this Jesus, this person here, who created a new religion. He's a false prophet. And a believer who followed the way, what he's teaching, they must be arrested and put in prison. But he was confident at that time too, right? Every one of us here today, you know, in fact, everyone in the world who have a religion, they are confident in what the religion promised them. It's not all right? Huh? You see, it's not like what some religion will say. You pray five times a day. How many times did Daniel pray when he was in Babylon? Prayer doesn't mean that you have pray 5 times, 7 times, 10 times, 100 times a day. Doesn't mean that merit you a place in heaven. It does not. You understand? Your faith is based on nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not based on a teaching. It's not based on a doctrine. It is based upon a person. And sometimes you talk about the creeds, you know, your dogma, your faith, you recite all that thing. It doesn't help you. It doesn't do you one bit any good. You must have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book of Philippians, Paul's only book that is full of joy, full of contentment. He expresses so much. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. Verse 12, not verse 14. I need to put the light here. For the which cause I also suffered this thing. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day, and against that day. I'm not ashamed. I pray that every one of you here and all those out there, if you ever call yourself a Christian, you should never ever be ashamed to identify yourself as one. And as the Bible said, you know, when people ask you of your faith, you must be able to give your answer. Don't be shy about it. That's why I learned from young. The day after that, when I came to know the Lord before 12 years old, then I entered into primary secondary school, and that was the time, oh my, I was thrown away because of the word of the teacher. And then I went into the pop war, and then backslid into the away from Christ for 2 years. Yet never deny him, and the Lord pulled me back. The one moment the Lord pulled me back, he dealt with my life. I began to testify. My Bible filled the Holy Spirit, and I spent a lot of time reading, studying. And the Lord told me to go out where the sinners are. Yeah. I have never understood why all my movement was such that all my money that I earned, you know, even from when I was a secondary school, what pocket money that I have, whatever little thing I tried to earn from doing some small things, selling things, I used those money to buy books. Then I rode over to, I couldn't afford, because some books are expensive, I rode over to America, those book publishers. You know, I go to Tech Man and all this at that time, or some Christian Bible Christian book room, and I look into the book, you know, and they copy down the address, and they wrote to them, and tell them, you know, the Lord will call me, and I need to prepare myself, whatever book that you can give me free, I appreciate it. And I received a whole lot of books. You know, the publisher, you know, they edit it, they go to the manuscript, there are some, you know, edit the point, things like that, they don't need anymore, they just send it to them. And this Bible is what I have. It's free. It's one of the first Bible I received. There's only one error in the Bible. Only a phrase that is missing, the word blood, without, you know, and the word Paul talks about, what the Jerusalem Council talk about, abstain from blood and think that was strangled. Yeah, and the word, I think that was strangled were not there. Not to consume blood. So on. So you see, that's the only thing. And I have this Bible, you've been using it in all these years. And I went out there witnessing the gospel when I went to working in a hospital. Man, I boldly testified. And immediately, overnight, you know, as I said, they call me Father Gun, Reverend Gun, Long Shot Gun, Elephant Gun even. You know, I don't know, they call me all the gun. And the news went around and they say, hey, if God goes to you, I want to work out, be careful, how are you going to convert you? You know, and when they want to sell me insurance, I do not want insurance at that time. You know, could not afford insurance. I said, no, I don't need insurance. Why not insurance? I said, blessed assurance. Then they went around to those who, you know, at that time they were just NTUC or thing, income, yeah. Trying to sell all the various money. Hey, you cannot sell insurance to Ghana. He doesn't believe in insurance. So it didn't go on. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. When Paul was converted, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Right? He was contented. He had the joy because it's reality. Let's go to the next one in John chapter 14, 1 to 3. John chapter 14, 1 through 3. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now that's kind of odd, isn't it? You believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because I'm the Savior, I'm the Son of God. I came to lay down my life for you. Not just believing in Yahweh alone. You see, the Jew was so much tied to the law, they believed in Yahweh, the Messiah is coming, but they did not recognize the Messiah. You know, so Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. So you see, Jesus Christ, He has a Father. Think about it, huh? So remember one thing, always remember this. We don't have two gods, we only have one. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself the way I am, that you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. It is true. Jesus has gone the way before us. He has prepared the way before us. So you know where He is now. So what are we worried? Why are we troubled? In whatever event, should we be troubled? Verse 7, Philippians. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partaker of my grace. Huh. You are partaker of my grace. Paul did not say you are partaker of God, he said you are partaker of my grace. You are partaker of my help. Because God did pour the grace. And through that grace, through that man called Paul, God's grace is channeled through him. Now, you know, think something about it. God used human being. God used vessel. I mean, God could do anything he wants to, right? Because he's all powerful. He don't need Paul, he don't need the disciple, he don't need anybody. He could do anything he wants. But why did he really do that? That's why God's mysterious way. It's such that if you look closely, why he do it that way? Because he wants to have a relationship, he wants to establish a faith, he wants to have a connection. Because in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he could be as the Holy Spirit himself, just bring up with creation into existence. But why did he come forth in the word body? And through the word body, bring forth creation. Why? That's what the Bible said, there is one mediator between God and man. That man is Christ Jesus. But the mediator implies more than one, two. But the mediator, God is one. It is God that came forth out in a body form. So now it's become visible. They said, if you read my book, you understand. The invisible Spirit of God and the visible Logos. The Word is made visible. Through what? Through a form. Whether it's a theophany form, or an angelic form, or he came as through the prophet, or he came as through the Son of God. The Word he manifests in flesh. And you and me, we are what? Vessels of flesh that God wants to make manifest in. That's why he used Paul, and Paul said, you are partaker of my flesh, of my grace. You know, just think about the day that you came to know the gospel. How did you come to know the gospel? It must be somebody who spoke to you or witnessed to you the gospel of grace. Or you may not. Maybe it's on the radio program. Like in America that they have, in the Philippines, but here in Singapore we don't have those religious programs. Because we have too many religion in there, everybody is fighting for airtime. We don't have that airtime. Or it may be through somebody who give a tract to you. It must be through a channel. Normally, how it is through a channel? You cannot say that you are an unbeliever walking around in the world suddenly, oh, I decided to believe in Jesus Christ. That's not possible. Right? When you don't even know who Christ is. Unless an angel of the Lord appeared before you and stopped you on the way that he did with Saul. That's why God wants a relationship. And that's not why you have this chain of connection. The body, every one of us. Look at this hand here. You see how it moves? Here we have five fingers in the hand. Every fingers are different. Different shape. Right? But just one hand. The little finger is not a thumb. What happens if one finger is hurt? Is accidentally something crushed on it? What happened? All the other finger have a problem moving. Do you understand? Because of the pain. Everyone has shared that pain. You just cannot move. Do you understand? God bless you, Elizabeth. So you understand how it is? There's always a connection. That's why we're all connected to one another. Paul, there's a point of connected to the Philippian believer, the believer in Philippi. You see, so you are partaker here, as he said, you know, you are all partaker of my grace. Yes, not only that, they respond to Paul. They pray for Paul, they give him support. I was talking to a brother recently on chat. It's all about ties and usual that again. He was talking about, you know, how that some He heard one oneness preacher preach there's no such thing as tithing. And of course I told myself, God, this man must be a rich man. That's why he preached against tithing, because he see all the other churches, the pastor out there who are full time, who have no other occupation, because they are dealing with the gospel and they're preaching, they've got the tithe support him and his family also for what other mission. And this one who said that there's no such thing as tithing, God never spoke about it in the New Testament, blah blah blah. I said, he must be a rich man. He must be the son of a rich father or a grandfather, have estate and property. Or he must have investment. I think about it. And I said, anybody who preaches there's no need for the congregation to tithe, he's robbing the congregation of the blessing that God promised. Because they don't see what the Bible teaches. And they give you an example. Yeah, Paul, Paul was a tanner. He never got any tithe. How do you know? I said, dude, sometimes I really get frustrated with all this foolish preacher. Paul was a widower. Right? Widow is a male, right? Am I confused? I don't know where you're on. His widow, that means his wife passed away. Then the brother asked me, how is she so bloody again? I said, do they know the scripture? How do I know that Paul was a widower? The Bible did not say he lost his wife, but he was a widower. How do I know? Because in the Old Testament, you are under the law, you are the Pharisees, you are in the Sanhedrin, you have to be a married man. Common sense will tell you. How do we know that the thorn in Paul's side was his eye problem, the pain in his eye? How do we know? Why was that thorn in his side? Oh, must be here. Oh, what do you mean by that? How do we know that was his eye? Because that was when God dealt with him. Remember, he was popped up. I'm a Pharisee, this and that, and all these people of the way should be arrested. So when Christ met him on the way, he blinded him. And when that scale, or that, what do you call that, cornea that was burnt up, and Ananias prayed for him, was removed. The scar remained, the little roughness remained. So there is pain that comes. God allows that to be there. So whenever he gets popped up, remember, you are no longer the soul in you once were. You are now Paul. That's why keep me humble. How many of you ever get some little speck of dust going into your eye? You know how painful that is? And what about those who have this pain that have tears and that headache? And that is constant. God wants to keep Paul humble. That was to remind him. The thorn, the sight, or any other place. What does it remind him of? Or maybe there is something else in his sight. Or maybe he got a tumor there. That keep him humble? It must be related to something that make his life different. Make him a different person. I think many of us, we're going to look back. Sometimes it's something in the past in our life. We did something that many times you think about it, you regret it. Don't you? I did. That ice catcher man, the striped ice man, remember? Remember I told you how I cheated him? Sometimes I think of it, I wish I could have done earlier and go and find him, but the day that it was too late, he was gone. I want to tell him how sorry I am. That's what the whole thing is all about. Because what made me to realize that I need to go and apologize to him and make restitution, maybe to pay back what I can, what I've taken from him. I met a nice man who knew how a youngster's love, his eyes shredded eyes, He just turned a blind eye, and one day he told me, Emmanuel, it broke into my heart. And after some week down the road, the Lord really convicted me. Oh, man. All right. Let's continue. First, verse 8. All right. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Christ Jesus. And the Bible talks about how I long after you in the bowel of Jesus Christ. That's all English, huh? Bowels. When you love someone, what do you say? I love you with all my stomach. Would you? No. Why do you say I love you with all my heart? Because the heart is the center of life, right? And there is a song that I always remember. I find very unusual. Later on, I find it's in Bahasa Indonesia. It's in, you know, in Malay, but in Indonesian, because that's where they translate the song. I got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Right? Now, in the Malay form, in Bahasa Indonesia, it is Saya ada, ada, suka, suka, dalam hati. Dalam hati, mana? Dalam hati. That time I was thinking that hati means heart. Then I realized heart is jantung. Right? So what is heart? Hati. Hati is the liver. I love you without my liver. I said, Lord, try my liver. But you see, that is the expression of word. One language, in one a race language, one, you know, from one language translated to another, you cannot really directly translate it. Saya ada, ada, suka, suka, dalam jantung. Dalam jantung, that's not sound good. So I love you with all my bowels. Wow. You know, the center of all the desires, so to speak. I think a lot of us here, what do we love? Wagyu beef. Whatever else, spaghetti or whatever, you know. You love those things with all your bowels. Or maybe with your mouth, your taste bud. But this is just an expression. I find that is quite unusual because that is how language are anyway. Alright? Okay, let's just go on. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now here we have, I pray that your love, this word love here is agape. Okay, this is not filial or nothing. Eh? Jesus asked Peter, agape down. Whoops. Lord, you know, I feel you. And down the road a little bit. Peter. Agape down me. Peter was so troubled. Lord, you know, I feel your thee. You know, God wants agape. Not filial. Filial is brotherly, it's horizontal. Agape is vertical. What your pillar is saying, you know, I love you, just like a brother, a prophet, whatever. Then finally, okay, Jesus, okay. Yeah. All right, Peter, filial down me. Yes, Lord, I feel your deed. Then feed my sheep. You see, at that point in time, Peter has not had the Holy Ghost. And he is going through a process of learning as a disciple. Jesus understood. Jesus did not try to force himself on Peter to make him understand. He already understood what the word agape is, what the word filio is. There is a lot of difference. Brotherly love and agape love is totally different. And your Paul is saying, And this I pray that your agape may abound yet more and more, and agape flow from God. And whatever is in the love of God is something good. They're always good. That and more, yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. More and more in knowledge and in all judgment. What is all this thing about? So important about knowledge and judgment? Well, let's say this about love here. Do you know, in our human relationship, well, there's a difference between fatherly love and motherly love. You all agree with that? Yeah. There is nothing like motherly love. Do you know? Which one comes more important in your life or your upbringing? What do you think when you look at your father and your mother? What has brought you in the way that you are today? Is it the influence of motherly love or fatherly love? Think. You see, the fatherly love is this. Strict. Motherly love is different. Motherly love is trying to make you understand. Calm you down, make you to understand, right? Fatherly is very strict, there's always chastisement. Motherly love is trying to make you to understand. Quite different kind of approach. That's why I say this many times when you have a raise of a child, and maybe like Brother KK and Christabel, they have now a little kid. Or even now Zoe and Clement with Adam. Or you have Patsy and Sister Anita with the two little one. If ever a mother disciplines a child or a father disciplines a child, the other do not interfere. Do you understand? The problem many times is when a father disciplines a child, how with the king is and that. The mother said, no, don't disrupt her. And you know what? The child is going to grow up to know. That my mother will support me. And so he will build a nest on top of the mother's head. This is always the case. Or the other way around, the same, when the mother disciplines, because the father is weak, doesn't have that chance to discipline, and there's always the same thing. But in general, the father in love is one who is strict. Chastisement is always there, more than the mother. Because the mother in love, why? Because it's the mother that carries the child. Yes? I mean, man cannot carry a child. And because the mother carried a child for 9 months in there, and that's where that, you know, their relationship with the child. And even those women that were raped and they carry a child, don't she know that child is not what we call conceived by a proper wedlock. It's a rape. And yet, when those motherhood, those women got raped, when they were quickened inside that there's this woman, there's this mother in here, they will still want to treasure the child. Yeah. You see, that's a motherly love thing, the shelter. But the word agape here, remember, is an attribute of masculine and a family. It's God. How God treats us, how God dealt with us in His love. He can approach you like a mother, nourish you. Or He can approach you like a father, chastise you. That's how God is like. When we are hurt, when we are in sorrow and pain, we go to God and we cry. And then you find the presence of the Lord coming quietly, right? And you feel comforted. But when we sin against Him, or we become rebellious, man, you know the chastisement of God is painful. And Paul said, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. In knowledge, that's true. How can you ever know about the love of God or all that the Father is if you do not have knowledge? And you need to have judgment. That judgment here means to discern. Huh? With the knowledge that you have, Paul is saying that you be able to approve, and the next verse says that you may approve things that are excellent. So how can you ever bring forth judgment to discern what is excellent and what is not if you do not have the knowledge of God? How would you know? That's why we talk about knowledge. Why is it so important about knowledge? God says in the Old Testament, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And yet Paul in one of his pieces said, knowledge puffed up. And that's what, Brother Bam said something about education. Huh? Is of the devil. And then I have some of these foolish believers in Singapore when we talk, share double together. Oh, Brother Gan, you are very intellectual. You know, Brother Abraham said, education is of the devil. They try to put me down like that. What do you mean by education is of the devil? In what way was Brother Abraham referring to when he said education is of the devil? Huh? What does he mean by that? It means that you cannot be a scientist, you cannot be an engineer, you cannot be a doctor. No, he didn't mean that. But if you take your education and overwrite the word of God, then it is of the devil. Oh, there's no God, you know. They call it Big Bang Theory. But we're talking about the knowledge of God. Yes, I'm intellectual. Because God is intellectual. Don't you believe that God is an intellectual being? Or else how do you make all these things so wonderful? Huh? How is it that your heart has four chambers? Why must there be four chambers? And what about the cow? His stomach has how many chambers in his stomach? Four chambers, yeah. Okay. Why is that so? And what is a pig? Doesn't have this cleaning system in his body, that's why he gets gila body. The swine thing, you know, running around him, what? Because they have a little holes in the feet here that flush out the toxins and you got blocked by mud, they went crazy. Why did God create a monkey and a macaque? The macaw, what kind of macaque? It is a monkey, a long tail. My cat, yeah, so. What did they have? What did God create? That one with a long tail. You know how cute they are on the tree? Swinging tree, and they have two hands, and they can sometimes use the tail as a fifth limb to hold onto the branch. God created them because it's wonderful to perform. It's wonderful to perform. And if you ever love biology, love all these animals, you look at the thing that you're going to create. It's wonderful. And what do you have, two eyes in front or not at the back? I think the way Scott should have one at the back so that we know what's coming. Is it? And why is your nose not upside down? God created all this. This doesn't come by evolution. That's right. So that knowledge, God has given us knowledge that we need knowledge so that we can discern. As you say here, in all judgment that we may approve things that are excellent. What things are excellent, what things are not. There are a lot of things that are not excellent in our in our life. There are a lot of things that are really not excellent for us to have, to venture into. Discerning between right and wrong. Sometimes it's hard, but that's where knowledge comes in. And he says here that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Hey, we talk about sincerity. You know, the time when first I came to know what Brother Abraham said, when the angel told him, if you would be sincere. And that time onward, when I read what the angel told Brother Abraham, if you will be sincere, wow, it triggered me. It started the holding road. The sincerity is so important, even for you, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ when He comes back. Are we sincere? God told, I mean, the angel told Abraham, if you will be sincere, that applies to us, as for you, that we may be sincere without offense. I've been through all that for all the years. When I came to Matthew 71, 72, 72, and I read what the angel told Abraham, that's where I realized the importance of it. And year later, I saw all those many ministers from overseas, Canada, America, New Zealand, Europe. My. Then many of them say, I know Brother Branham, I was a problem. Yet, why is that sincerity? You see, that's the problem. Just because they were with Brother Branham, they think they know. But what is the sincerity? Where is that sincerity? America today has fallen. Look at the politicians today. What did they say? Look at the thing they messed up. What did they do with Donald Trump? Went into his home and raped. What is all that? What is the sincerity in your profession as a politician, in your profession as a preacher, in your profession as a Christian? Remember, you have a profession. Your profession is a Christian too. Are we sincere in our life, in what we say? Or are we alibiing, funny excuses? Giving some sideway answer. You know what? Let us be very careful. I love this book, Philippians, because Paul's relationship with the Philippines is so much so that he wants them to be like him. And he saw their life, how he impacted them, they impacted him too. And that's why he openly preached all these things about joy, contentment. And you cannot have joy and contentment if your life is not at par with the Word of God. You see, you may be sincere until the day of Christ coming. Until Christ coming. Can we say honestly what is in our heart? Or you want to hike in this and that? Like a minister, committing the affair. And tell me just a little affair and I can prove it to you. And he called Brother Abraham and tried to prove that. And when you show him the scripture, he told me, you don't know your Bible. I know this book of Brother Branham. I read it more than 20 times. I know the revelation of it. You alibiing yourself, excusing yourself, taking the coat of Brother Man and refuse to look into the Word of God. You call yourself a preacher. And you are destroying the life of many people out there in Africa. And he doesn't want to honestly come to face and say the truth. Like it was us. I was told when I was in contact with many preachers in America, When we were doing what we call the spoken word typo ministry, we were contributing my tapes. At that time, we only had tapes, there's no CD. You know, and they have all this library of tapes of different preachers so that they can go out. And they told me their discussion with Billy Paul. You know, the thing that I heard, I said, are you sure that's what it is? He said, yes, don't believe me. That's all you have to do, ask him. Do you believe William Branham, your father, is Jesus Christ? And the answer they give, Brigham, is what they will give you. I didn't say it, you said it. You know what I mean? Brigham, I believe that William Branham is Jesus Christ. And you come and ask me, but again, you believe that born by Jesus Christ? I didn't say it, you said it. You see what I'm trying to tell you? They are all buying. Putting yourself in some situation, but now, put it in somebody else, excuse me, throw it in somebody else. I could not believe this sort of thing is happening. And I told when I first came to the message, 71, 72, and learning, so wow, this is a fantastic message. Everybody should see the truth and find out what the prophet said. Into the Bible, it turned out to be not true. We have opinion of all these men who was crowding around, brought up, brand new, everyone going through their own different direction, preaching different things. The reason why they preach different things is because they rejected the Bible, literally. They want to use the brother Branham's quote as if that is the truth. 100% absolute truth. And me, and that is 72, God already told me. Because 71, we're trying to mix fellowship with the local church here, the one first church. I could see the thing that didn't work out. Because he too lied about me, told lies to the congregation. And God told me, remember in the prophecy, I raised it up with a standard in this part of the world of God to be a blessing to the people out there. That's why I kept away. And what happened to the very first church? They have more than 100 people. More than 100 people. And the tithes and offering every month, I was told, comes into the box. Five figures. You know what I mean by five figures? 4-0 with one figure in front. Five figures. Lots of money. Where did the money go? As I said, one brother told me, when he left the place, come in fellowship with us, he told me all the things that happened. We asked him, what did you give account to the church? We don't know where our time goes to. But Abraham said, your duty is to give tithes, my duty is to collect tithes. I don't know whether Abraham ever said that. Evil man of work. No wonder here Paul, even in the Bible, was warning in the epistle about false brethren. Men like Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander. Are we serious about the word of God? Can we be sincere? If you have a problem with me, let me know, please. If you disagree with my teaching, let me know, please. And if you can prove to me that I'm wrong, I will change. But don't just say things like the one who blamed polygamy, laughed, and told lies. No, nothing to do with doctrine. Your sin will find you out sooner or later. And that's why I, since 1972 or so, when I read what the angel told me about, I became very, very cautious of what I say, what I teach. I wanted to be sincere. Because that is the important thing. To get people to believe. You know, I remember about Brother James Merrill was wrote in his testimony. Back then, you know, when I traveled Africa, we don't have all this, what we call the technology today. When I wrote the book, we printed it out, we sent it out. And he got a book, I think it was the circumcision or the original sin booklet. And he wrote to me, through me of course, to go to Zimbabwe. And when I went, of course, I don't know where he's going to take me, you know. So he took me to a brother's home, I told you that. And put me into a room. And outside they were doing some renovating, they were digging and all that, and the room was full of spiders. And I'll tell you about big spiders, size of this, my hair with all the legs like that. On the ceiling, on the wall. Big brown spiders, I don't know whether they're poisonous on it or not. And it was very cold at night because the wall was under renovation, so they just put some board, something like that. And it was so cold. I believe I went out there in time of November, December, I can't remember now. And I lie down on the bed and you see the spider on the ceiling. Three or four of them out there. I said, don't fall. And then in the morning I get out, go to the toilet and I sit down on the board and there was a spider just next on the wall. It's everywhere. I mean, it is not poisonous, I think. But the brother told me they came out because, you know, the ground was being dug, hammered, you know. They were sort of doing some renovation. The vibration caused the spider coming to the room. And I know the brother James very well. After he was examining, like when I went to Uganda, they were testing me. I don't know them, they don't know me, but they were testing me. And Brother James said this one thing in his testimony. Here's a man who's humble enough. We just bring him home to the house of a brother under renovation. Just sit, lie there and sleep in new ground. Why would I go? They put me in a hotel that's filthy. What can I do? Just sleep there. You see, our life is not for ourselves. We are not living our life for ourselves. We are living our life for others. The influence of one being, you. You understand? Do you think Jesus Christ, when he came, he lived for himself? I came not to be served, but to serve. You. See, a whole lot of difference. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Can we speak the truth in love? Yeah, sometimes when we speak the truth, people get hurt. But that is what it is. Truth always hurts. Is that not right? Especially when it's bad news. I remember the time when Brother John, years ago, when Brother John came back to the fellowship. I don't remember. I remember to this day, Brother John. Any event that happened to me regarding to anything that's extremely good or extreme bad, it stays in my memory and never go away. And I always have it written down when I go back. Especially the bad experience. I don't know what year that was when we were having a YMCA. After we left our Lingam, we had fellowship. And then Brother John was not with us until one day he came to the fellowship and he was sitting behind with his wife. Second week or third week later on, he was sitting in front, two or three rows from where I was standing preaching. He only told me later on what happened. What happened? He was sitting there praying. Remember, John, what he said? You don't remember. But this is what happened, I'll tell you what happened. You see, after the meeting was over, went home. Around 6 o'clock, Sister Tracy was getting the dinners ready. I was sitting at my desk. You know, it was just a cabinet, a tabletop built against the wall. And I was dealing with typing some messages. The phone was hanging up on the wall. Now, those days, we all don't have cell phones. It's either tick, 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 tick. You don't know that thing. Or the push button. And so the phone was on the wall. A serial number, it was a Panasonic. And you hook on it. So I was there doing my work, and then the phone rang. So I had to get up to the wall and take the phone and answer. And it was Brother John that called. Brother John, he said to me, Brother Gunn, he said, yes. He said, you know, Brother Gunn, can you come and minister to my sister? Do you remember? He said, what's wrong with sister? I think you said that she had leukemia, if I'm not mistaken, or some cancerous thing. Yeah. And it's in the hospital. Could I come minister to her? I said, okay. And I said, when are you? When he said, you pick me up. I said, when do you want to pick me up? He says, tomorrow morning. I said, okay, tomorrow morning then. You know, he said, okay, tomorrow morning I come at such and such a time and we'll go. He said, okay. So I got up from my seat, put the phone on his cradle. As I was about to cradle the phone, I froze completely, brother. I freeze like this. And the voice spoke to me. John had a fear of a dreadful disease. I said, what? No, God works in an unusual way. I hang up there. I went up to my, went to the kitchen. I told my process crazy. I said, God just spoke to me that John had a fear of a dreadful disease. She looked at me and said, what do you think it is? I said, maybe cancer. I don't know. Early morning, you can pick me up. He put the car downstairs. I went down, opened the front door. There was a baby seat there. Do you remember? I think that seat was for Enoch. But the baby seat, then you asked me, bring your sorry, I don't have time to be more. Can you sit behind? I said, okay. I closed the door. I went to sit behind. I sat behind him, the other way where he was driving, not the other side, so that I could look at the rear mirror. You know, rear mirror is facing me. So I said, okay, let's go. He pulled the car back and moved forward to the end where you have to turn out to the main road. So I said, pull the car back and start to move. I said, oh, John, let me ask you a question. Do you have a fear of a dreadful disease? And I don't know whether you still remember. Your leg, actually, literally, your car sort of jerks short of it. You turn to the mirror and look at me. How do you know, Brother Gunn? Who told you this? Do you remember? I don't think you remember. I told you to write the testimony down. You do not want to. And he asked me, who told you? I said, the Lord told me that evening. And then you told me why you have this fear. Because you have this problem in the nose. The nasal. You are bleeding. Am I not correct? I still remember clearly all that thing. You said that you have a colleague who had the same problem, the same sign, the same symptom, and he was diagnosed to have nose cancer. And he told me, Brother, I'm afraid that might have it. I said, all right, Brother John, this Sunday, the following Sunday, that is, we're going to have a communion. Then we will pray over you. So it was in the communion that I rebuked Satan. I told him, I specifically said, Satan, you can do any damage to the sister, to the father, to the whatever family, but here stands the child of God. You lay your hand off him. Then you went for your biopsy. And I don't know, about a week later or something, you called me and I said, Brother Gunn, I'm going to get my result. My heart is beating very fast.
I said, Brother John, prayer has been given to the Lord. There's nothing you can do. Just trust in Him and just go. And later when you got the result, you called me back. You were so happy. You said that you were driving on the way. You were singing songs and just praising the Lord. When you entered the clinic, you remember what you told me? When you went to the clinic, Dr. Watson dead, and nurse came out and said, "Hi, you Mr. Chong." And you said to me, you said, "Wow, she looked very happy. The miss must be good." Then the nurse told you, said, "The doctor's not here, but I want to tell you this. I've been working here for so long. Every time I see this biopsy taken, I look at it, there's cancer. You all look the same, but your result came back negative. Do you remember that?" Right. This is a man here, memory very long, huh? Like elephant. But the bad stuff and the good stuff, I remember. The other not so important, I'll brush it aside. Because my life experience, why did God did something wonderful for him? Like a sister over in Uganda, when I prayed for her, she had a dream in the night. That in the dream, she had this dream. So I was there praying for her. At the same time, God put his hand into her stomach, took out whatever. And next day, everything was fine. For all the problem that she is suffering in the stomach. You see, oh, God is so good. I cannot thank him enough. Let us go to another verse and then we will close them. Joshua 24:14. Joshua 24:14. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of your fathers that your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you Yahweh. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." That's why, you know what, I experienced with too many believers in my life. I mean, believers is one thing, but the preacher. I cannot believe however that person calls himself a preacher, a pastor, whatever it is, and can lie and twist the word of God. What is sincerity? Hey, we are Christian. There are always this word sincerity in the Bible. Especially in the New Testament. Lie. If we cannot serve God with sincerity, believing in God, in all that He wants us to be and do that which is right before Him, then I think, what do we call as a Christian? And the world is heading for a disaster. There's going to be more problems. Food shortage is going to be there. Antarctica, my goodness, the ice is melting so fast, they are saying the Maldives. Some pronounce it as Maldives. Maldives, whatever. You know the island out there in outside of India? You know, they expect that within the year 2030, the island is going to go. Think about it. Rising, and many coastal regions are rising because the ice are melting too fast. Global warming, and we have foolish people that says, "No, that's no. It's just a phenomenon. It's going to get worse because why this world is going to turn and turn and turn and churn and churn and churn? Because why? It's prevailing for the manifestation of the sons of God." And He has to come. And the Lord bless every one of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word of love, your contentment, that you have given us the peace and the joy, the truth. Lord, that which we have received from you, Lord, that agape. And being the who you are, Father, to speak the truth in love, and therefore, Lord, let us, everyone, live our life in sincerity. That we be sincere to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. Bless us, O Lord. Give us more grace in this world now of much turmoil and darkness, Lord, that covers many nations. Wickedness are on the rise. Evil men are still at work. And that Canaanite spirits are still raging in many life, O Lord, out there in the world, seeking to destroy. Father, touch your people, Lord, everywhere in this world. And bless those who love you with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit, and body. The thing that you throw us to do, that we have to. Bless us, then, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.